We might see another bailout.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Things are looking pretty grim this morning for the mortgage lenders Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The stock price of both companies is in a free fall. Those shares have lost half their value today. Wall Street seems convinced a government takeover of some sort is coming. Alisa Roth has more.
The U.S. mortgage market is worth $12 trillion. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac either own or guarantee half those mortgages. But the two companies have seen huge losses since the mortgage crisis started, and it's getting worse. Josh Rosner is with Graham Fisher.
Look, the companies obviously ultimately have losses that will require them to raise more capital.
He says if there's a way to raise that money through equity, the companies should do that. But he worries that with share prices falling, that could be tricky. There's long been an assumption the government would bail out Fannie and Freddie if the situation got really bad. So the question is, how would or how could the government step in?
There is no clear policy. Washington has dragged its feet on legislation and, unfortunately, still is not fully accepting the seriousness of the situation.
Rosner says a straight bailout is out of the question, but there are other options. The government's considering what those might be, but Rosner warns Fannie and Freddie may still be able to sort it out on their own. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Fannie and Freddie aren't the only troublemakers this morning. GE's second quarter was pretty mediocre, and the price of oil is back to setting records. A new one today, $147 a barrel. So far, the Dow is down 118 points, a percent, to 11,110. The NASDAQ is down 25, the S&P 500 by 11. Some winners, some losers in Asia today. Shares in Europe are down almost 2%. I wish these mortgage lenders and bank CEOs and treasury secretaries would stop reassuring us. Every time they do, things only seem to get worse. And so it's with great trepidation that we await the second quarter numbers from the banks. Here's Bob Moon.
Financial stocks got a lift this week when J.P. Morgan chief Jamie Dimon spoke of better days to come, but the euphoria didn't last. Wall Street's bracing for a new round of bad news when banks report their latest profits starting next week. Seaport Securities stockbroker Ted Weisberg says investors have heard it all before. Hopeful talk followed by deeper losses.
People are skeptical, and they just are not accepting the verbiage. Talk is cheap. We need to see substance.
There was a hint of some actual improvement late yesterday. The Fed revealed investment banks didn't borrow from its emergency lending program over the past week, and commercial banks scaled back. But Weisberg says it'll take a lot more than one hopeful report.
I think what everybody would like to see is just some clarity. Where is the light at the end of the tunnel? And is the light at the end of the tunnel truly light, or is it a freight train coming at us?
He says investors fear the unknown, but they'll be able to focus on real results over the next few weeks.
Everybody's going to be taking a good hard look.
I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
It looks like Bud and Stella might get married after all. There are reports this morning that Anheuser-Busch and the Belgian beer maker InBev are in friendly talks about a merger. Things were looking pretty hostile for a while, but the Wall Street Journal says InBev has increased its offer.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Teach for America to bring math and science teachers to under-resourced public schools. More information at teachforamerica.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
At this Summer Olympics, as far as swimming goes, it's all about the suit. These new bodysuits developed by Speedo and NASA have changed the sport for good. The U.S. swim coach says he won't be surprised if every world record is broken in Beijing because of what the swimmers are wearing now. This is a perfect topic for our Business of Sports commentator, Diana Nyad. She's been a world record holder in swimming, for swimming more than 100 miles once. Diana, how exactly do these new swim suits work?
Well, you know, the simplest way to explain it is you would think that looking at these very lean bodies, I mean, they don't have much body fat percentage on them. But the truth is, it's just like when you watch a runner in slow motion, you see even a 2% body fat, you know, body mm-hmm. has some jiggling of the flesh. And yeah. the same thing happens in the water. So this suit is so darn tight and the seams have been made so that the water crosses across them with such little friction that now that seemingly body fat free body really is like a slim little torpedo.
So it's better than swimming naked.
Oh, yeah. You know, way, way better.
And you've put one of these things on. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, not exaggerating, it took me 25 minutes with two friends to get it on. It's
Jeez.
Just like if anybody out there has put on a tight, thick wetsuit in the middle of winter, a thick one, you know, just quarter inch by quarter inch. And when I got that thing on, I mean, I have never looked so lean in my life. I was like a pencil.
I don't know. You're pretty lean.
No, I was like a pencil. And I wore it in the water. And of course, I'm not a, you know, world-class sprinter like these people, but I felt the incredible zero resistance.
Now, how much do these suits cost?
They run in the neighborhood of around $550. Now, these top swimmers, of course, all get them for free.
But what about swimmers from, say, a poorer country that might not be able to afford $550 suit?
Yes, you know, that's always the argument with any, you know, technological advance, isn't it? I mean, does every pole vaulter in the world get the advantage of the newest Teflon, boron, I honestly don't know what pole vaults are made out of, but they're not wood anymore. That's one thing we know. And I spoke with Stu Isaac, who's the CEO of Speedo, and he said, look, you know, even if a swimmer doesn't have a deal with us, if they're at the Olympic Games and they're going to be qualifying to get into the final heat, anybody who called me, they get a suit automatically.
And what do you think about the argument that this is essentially technological doping?
See, I can't get that. I mean, would we expect track runners to run in the same light little jersey and cotton shorts that Jesse Owens wore? I mean, of course, we're advancing all the time. Oh, we should swim in the pools of 1924? Or, you know, we should swim out in the, you know, in the bathtubs they used to swim in? Of course not. So I can't get any part of that argument.
All right, Diana Nyad, our Business of Sports commentator. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Scott.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.